gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. A chock full celebrity hotline today. CNN's crusty old coot and my future husband, Jack Cafferty.
That's right.
Representative Adam Smith, Democrat of the great state of Washington, and CNN's chief business correspondent, the bald-headed prophet of doom, Ali Velshi, on the celebrity hotline.
That's not what they call him.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Happy St. Patrick's Day to ya.
Erin Gubra.
Okay.
Someone sent me a card, actually. An e-card. May the Irish hills caress you. May her lakes and rivers bless you. May the luck of the Irish enfold you. And may the blessings of St. Patrick behold you.
You know, I only have one dream today, and that's that, I think it's Frank. Irish Frank from Chicago calls and hates me.
Ah, you slag. What do you think now? That's fairly you voted for.
It's just hard. He really, really hates me, and it's just hard to have a serious argument with him when it's, I feel like I'm arguing with a Keebler elf.
Yeah, Keebler elf? They're not Irish. Leprechaun.
Who am I thinking of?
Lucky Charms leprechaun.
Yeah, Lucky Charms leprechaun. All right. Hey, Jim, it's not often that Republican senators steal from you, but Chuck Grassley suggests that AIG executives should kill themselves.
Oh, yes.
I believe you suggested that they should be shot.
If they were samurai, they'd be eviscerating themselves right now.
That's what he's saying. Yeah. They should take after the Japanese and
kill themselves.
Right. Congratulations, Jim. You have Republicans stealing from you now, too. I was a little twist on it. I don't believe you meant without a trial. It just was a just saying kind of thing.
I think he meant without a trial.
I said take him out and shoot him.
Speaking of trials.
It's a quote from Catch 22.
Guess what executive producer Chris LaVoy will be doing this week instead of the
Stephanie Miller
podcast. What do you mean instead of the Stephanie Miller show? You are fully prepared for this show. Mm. You have plenty of sound bites. I am here for the first 2 hours of the show. Mm. What do you mean I'm not going to be here doing the show?
The Cub Scout has jury duty. He has jury duty all week. He has to leave early.
And he's got a cold, so.
Yeah, oh.
So he's going to make all the.
Well, no, I think it's just allergies because I feel fine. I'm just all stuffed in the head.
They want to listen to you deliberate
probably
all week?
I don't
I'm not really sure if it's guilty or not. I don't know.
Can I
rub my
cheese.
Nose on your sleeve?
The cheese is blocking up your
No, I haven't had cheese. I haven't had time to eat. Are you kidding me? For the show and being on a trial?
Mm. The Stephanie Miller Show encourages you to do your civic duty unless, of course, you work for...
Stephanie Miller.
And then we discourage that strongly.
People were telling me that people in the media don't ever get on trials.
Everyone works in the media in L.A.
Yeah.
You had to think of something better than that. Yeah. I work in the media. Whatever. I don't know. My friend just got out of it last week. She's a psychic, and she said she knows who's guilty. And they were like, bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
Well, that's good if you're a psychic. I'm not a psychic.
Oh, you should have made something up. Okay.
You know they have ways of checking.
I'm a sidekick. Can I get off?
Would you rather me be in prison for perjury and...
Listen, working for this show is extreme financial hardship.
How can you prove that?
What?
That it's extreme financial
hardship. Show them your pay stub.
Well, okay.
All right.
Yeah, you said yesterday that you were going to fire me if I got on a jury.
I did. I just tell them you're going to get fired. And he goes, you know, it's illegal.
You're
I'm like,
fired.
I don't care.
You're fired.
Tell them I said you're going to get fired. I was in a mood when he called yesterday.
You were in a mood, and I was in a mood right back.
We're on vacation next week. This is not a good week for me.
They don't care about that. And they don't care about you. They hadn't heard of you. When they said, who do you work for?
That's reason enough.
Stephanie who?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you should have made up somebody bigger.
Like who?
How are they going to check?
Danny Bonaducci.
Yes. Say you work for Danny Bonaducci. All right. Oh, you're a fine American, Chris.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Whatever.
Speaking of fine Americans, like me, Eric writes, pee in the shower, save the planet.
Oh.
I think Kelly Clarkson revealed that she pees in the shower, and I just said, who doesn't? And to which you two expressed surprise.
And disgust.
That's because you're not fine Americans like me. Eric writes, Stephanie, last week you admitted to peeing in the shower. Thank you, Stephanie, for doing your part in saving the planet. Why, you're welcome, Eric. Thank you for pointing it out. Tell those prudish boys you work with that peeing in the shower is a plus for the environment for a number of reasons. Ha ha. First, you're sharing your water usage between waste disposal and washing. When you use the toilet, you're on average using 1.6 gallons per flush. When you pee in the shower, you use no extra water. Imagine how much water we would save if everyone peed in the shower. Many also point out that showering with a friend can also reduce water consumption. If you choose to shower with a stranger, that may also be a way to make friends, but it's a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
I would not suggest combining the co-showering and shower peeing unless you're a true champion for the environment. I guess that's up to the individual. Just my 2 cents. Eric, why thank you, Eric. Haha, I'm greener than you two. Nina.
Still gross.
No, it's not. It goes right in the thing and the water comes. It's completely sanitary. And it's a time saver, too. Okay.
I have green light bulbs all over my house. That's how I'm saving the planet. I don't need to pee in the shower.
Going in your pants is a time saver.
Too. Yes, it is. And it doesn't use any water.
No, because then you got to use the detergent to wash your pants.
And that you're going to be washing anyway.
Unless you just wash them in the shower while you're wearing them. Then it's okay. Then I approve that. That's environmentally friendly. Okay, just something else to taunt you two with. Chris and Yankton write, Steph, you must be thrilled that your USC Trojans not only won the Pac-10 men's basketball tournament, but beat Jim Ward's UCLA Bruins and Chris LeBoy's Arizona State Sun Devils to do it. Congratulations. What? Thank you, Chris.
You didn't even know that they were playing basketball.
Of course I did.
No, you did not.
I was completely aware that USC has a basketball team of some sort, and they beat, ha-ha, you two.
Ha-ha.
Phooey. Go Devils.
I have no
you don't care.
Knowledge of any kind about any college sports of any sort, but I'll pretend I care.
I haven't seen a UCLA basketball game since John Wooden was still coaching. So.
Now that's old. Since Bob Cousy was tearing it up in the NBA. Okay,
I don't even know who those people are.
Okay, it's because we're old. Okay, yeah. let's check some entertainment news, shall we? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Our top story, Madonna has hinted she's planning to extend her family by stealing another child from Malawi. I mean, adopting another child from Malawi. Did I say stealing another child from his father in Malawi?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was my bad. I meant to say adopting another child from Malawi.
I think it's called accessorizing.
Yes.
She, as you recall, adopted David Banda, who was 13 months old at the time, from Malawi in 2006, which caused media allegations that they violated that country's adoption laws. Madonna believes Banda should have a sibling from his homeland. I believe we have a... Who do we have?
The used child salesman.
Ah! Uh-huh.
Hey, all you international celebrities who've already scored a malnourished African child but are still feeling unfulfilled. Child Max here, and we know the answer to your ennui. Come on over to the Dark Continent and adopt another one. Our extensive research has indicated that post-adoption annoyance is due in most cases to a feeling of asymmetry. That's right. Get a little black food can to complete the set. Who needs a single black family member standing out like a raisin in a bowl of rice? Give the little nipper some company. I said nipper. And add a little more melon into the landscape. You won't regret it. We have the completion orphan you need in stock, or we can get you one within 24 hours. We've got them all. Nigerians, Malawians, Ivory Coasters, Beninians.
Huh?
What? Beninians.
We got it.
People from, that place. And the ever popular Kenyans. Check out our lot. Here we have a 2003 model Ghanaian. Someone from Ghana.
Uh-huh.
Already with her second set of teeth with just a few scattered smallpox scars. This fine 2001 model Ethiopian is very lively and loving. And the Kwashiorkor, that's the...
I understand.
Wait, thanks. Has almost completely cleared up. A couple thousand calories and he's good as new. And check out this 2005 Ugandan. He'll be walking as soon as you tank him up with milk to get the rickets under control. Don't delay. Don't deny yourself. You want him, we got him. Come on down to Child Max and take home your ebony accessory today. Guaranteed not to cause intertribal massacre around the dinner table. Financing available, easy payments, low interest. Call, click, or come on in.
Wow.
That was
offensive.
Extremely inappropriate.
Yes.
I'm mocking the celebrities who feel the need to accessorize.
We understand the use of the
human beings.
The
smallpox
and the
scars.
You know, Madonna said that she didn't steal the last child from Malawi, but you know, we feel that she's a lying sack of crap, or as they say
maybe
in
he's on loan.
Malawi. Yeah. we've heard that version of
You're a lying sack of crap.
Kalimba.
And finally, Malibu residents upset at Bob Dylan's outhouse.
Apparently, he has an outhouse?
He still can't afford indoor plumbing, apparently. Record royalties just aren't what they used to
be. Even when you lived in Malibu, you had an indoor toilet.
How sweet is life when you live next to a celebrity in Malibu? Outside Bob Dylan's house, the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. It's written that way. You knew that I didn't.
Yeah,
so,
yes. Yeah.
That's why some of the singer-songwriter's neighbors are claiming in an increasingly onerous dispute over a porta-potty at his sprawling Ocean View estate in Malibu. Residents contend the nighttime sea breeze sends a noxious odor from a portable toilet on his property wafting into their homes. The stench has made members of one family physically ill and forced them to abandon their bedrooms on warm nights, they claim. For more than 6 months, Dylan has ignored their complaints and they're pleased to remove the outhouse. The downwind neighbors say, we have Bob.
There's been some controversy about the porta-potty I have on my property. I'm way too cheap to build a proper guardhouse with actual plumbing. So when the wind is right, the stench is blowing in the wind. To my hypersensitive neighbors, I say, you're an idiot, babe. It's a wonder that you still know how to breathe. Apparently, the smell is even worse than my boots of Spanish leather, which are cured with urine, believe it or not. I may or may not have promised to remedy the situation. But what the hell? Broken treaties, broken vows, broken hands and broken plows. Everything is broken. Anyway, I don't really care if you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. May you smell forever dumb, forever dumb.
Forever dung, I get it.
Yeah.
That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends. And if you want more Jim Ward, fall to roll.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. Hit the banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website, stephaniemiller.com. Take it right there.
Ian in Boston on peeing in the shower.
Ugh. Stephanie, when you pee in the shower with the hot water, it vaporizes and aerosolizes and spreads everywhere. You may as well pee on all the walls.
And you might as well breathe it, too.
Yeah. I'm not aware of that. My shower smells fresh as a daisy, Ian. What's that? I don't have.
Yeah.
It smells as fresh as my boots of Spanish.
You're turning your pee into steam, and then you're breathing it, Stephanie.
Aerosolized pee.
Not smells better than
anymore.
Bob Dylan's outhouse. Levi Johnson, you know, sex on skates.
Yeah.
He says he wants a Bristol back.
I want my baby back, baby back.
Exactly.
I want my Bristol back.
He said he wants to get back together with his baby mama. He said it's just us not being mature enough or something and having a kid and thinking it could be better for us to separate for a while.
He talks just like Sarah Palin.
Woo-wee! He's got that.
Wow.
The gift of gab.
Also, too.
That Palin, also, too. Word salad. He says he and his fiancée, Bristol, will remain just friends for now. Asked if they're on civil speaking terms, he said, yep, for the most part.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, no.
He said, I'd like to get back together with her. I don't know what she's thinking. Or what Caribou Barbie's thinking. There might yet be a shotgun wedding. You never
know. Look out! The girl VP's got a gun!
An actual shotgun.
Everybody run. Ex-beauty queen's got a gun. Everybody run. The ex-beauty queen has got a gun.
Wee-hee! 20 minutes after the hour, back with more Celebrity Stack and the latest on AIG and as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, now you've done it, Chris. You've opened the peeing in the shower floodgates.
Oh.
Charlie in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, I would just like to say that I think the mooks are jealous because this is the only time that we women get to pee standing up.
There you go. Exactly. It's not like I'm trying to write my name or anything.
That's right.
Exactly.
We have better,
I'm just saving the planet.
We have better aim. We can hit the drain, yet we don't do it.
Spray
it all over the place.
Carl,
like a sprinkler.
Urine.
Carl in Chicago.
Hi, I just wanted to clarify the urine thing.
Yes.
Urine is sterile.
Thank you.
And,
especially mine.
When I was
still
in the
gross.
Military, they taught us that if you ran across a wounded buddy and you didn't have a first aid kit or anything to sterilize the wound, that if you if you urinated on the wound, that it would sterilize the wound. And we trained in basic training and did simulations.
Do that with the jellyfish.
And they would pick one guy to pretend to be wounded, and everybody would gather around and urinate on him.
See, Carl, I am...
it was me.
That may be true, but may I just say that's not a good day when you get shot and then your buddy pees on you. That's not as days go.
That's why everybody denied getting wounded. They would say, "Did you get hit?" And you'd go, "No, I'm good."
Zip. No. All right, thank you.
You know, this is breakfast programming for much of the country.
There's some military fun facts there. Okay. Wow.
Maybe that's what they're not asking and not telling about.
Golden showers going on that we're unaware of. My goodness.
Oh, dude.
Okay. Hey, Jim, Hugh Hefner's selling the mansion. You buying? He is selling his family home. Family.
Oh, not the Playboy mansion.
No, not the Playboy. It's the one next door for $28 million. Okay. The house includes 7 bedrooms. Who know what's happened in there?
Oh.
5 bathrooms and possible views of the Playboy mansion right next door. Squeezy, this is for you.
Well, lately a lot of, you know, changing of his depends have gone on in that house. I don't think anything much more than that has.
No more sexy beer parties?
No more sexy beer parties.
Okay. The 82-year-old Hefner and his wife, Kimberly, are selling the English manor-style home, which has served as the primary residence for Kimberly and their two sons. Hefner has lived in the Playboy Mansion for the last 3 years with 3 young women, as has been captured on the reality show The Girls Next Door.
Yes.
So it's a, that's a little, that's a whole family.
It's a whole thing.
Like most people who live next door with the, Okay, Bozo the Clown creator has died at the age of... Yes, at the age of 91. He will be buried in a Volkswagen with a lot of other creators of other clowns. Television clowns. Chuckles. And... I don't know that for a fact. I'm just speculating. Okay, Krusty. Like, I don't know who all the other creators are, but I'm just saying.
A couple of hobos.
Yeah, Emma Kelly.
Exactly. All right. Beyonce fans are among the least intelligent, but Beethoven fans...
What?
It's zippy, though.
I love this song.
That's because you're dumb. That's a stump.
I know.
Beyonce fans scored below average in exams, according to the findings. Fans of Justin Timberlake and Jay-Z also ranked poorly in terms of IQ. And lovers of the rapper Lil Wayne, the dumbest ever.
Well, yeah.
Hey, I love this too.
What?
Oh. Come on.
What?
How can you not like this?
What?
You know what it is? I think if you shake your head to this too much, you just rattle those brains around.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh. Jim, you're too smart to like this.
I can't follow the lyrics.
That's it. All right, 28 minutes. After the hour, crusty old CNN coot, my future husband Jack Cafferty coming up on the Celebrity Hotline next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It's been St. Patrick's Day for hours, and I'm still not drunk yet.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. You know, in these days with the American dream fast disappearing, I still have one dream. You know. You know what it is, Chris. Our next guest, you said he's not doing radio anymore, and I said he doesn't mean me. Who is it, Chris?
It's the author of the new book, Now or Never, Getting Down to the Business of Saving Our American Dream, CNN's Jack Cafferty.
Sigh. Good morning, Jack.
That's a lot better intro than I get from Wolf Blitzer.
He feels it. He just doesn't want to seem unmanly.
Well, you know, I'm afraid you might have something there. I don't even want to think about it.
Oh, boy. That couldn't be a better time for this book, though, right? I mean, you got to be going crazy with the latest AIG bonuses.
Well, yesterday there was some one of those morons at AIG said, "Well, yeah, we got to pay these bonuses because it's the only way we can keep the best and the brightest." And I said on the air, "I said the company is in the toilet. Why would you want to keep any of these people?"
Right. Right. What do you think can be done? I know the president yesterday said, you know, he's going to have Geithner pursue every legal means. Well, how is this going to go?
Well, I'm not a lawyer, but if there's any way to do it, I hope they're successful, because that's just obscene what that company's doing.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what they're figuring out is legally what can be done. Chuck Grassley suggested that they kill themselves, the AIG executives.
I saw that this morning, right? Either resign or commit Harry Caray.
Yeah.
Grassley's an Iowa guy, and I kind of like his way of looking at stuff.
I suggested we take him out and shoot him, but I don't think that'd be entirely legal.
My favorite is always their spokespeople. Oh, Senator Grassley was not suggesting that the AIG executives kill themselves. They're like, yes, he was.
Somebody just... He's just speaking rhetorically.
Oh, Lord. So, it's like we've already had bailout fatigue, right? And this just stirs up the populist pot again, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not so sure that, you know, some of this bailout stuff isn't a decent idea. I don't know. I certainly hope it works. Better minds than mine have taken a look and said, okay, we got to pump some money into banks and this and that. But this AIG stuff is, you know, this is criminal as far as I'm concerned. I mean, how can you even pretend to justify this stuff? And I don't, you know, I guess the company is so big that they can't allow it to just go underwater. But if they ever get back on their feet, and I was running the federal government, I would squeeze them till their little eyes bugged out.
That's again a rhetorical thing. That's
just
a rhetorical, in a financial sense.
Yeah,
uh-huh. I when you say, you know, mine's greater than yours, I don't know one of those, but I got to tell you. I'm reading in Time magazine the case for letting AIG fail, and it's way over my pay grade.
I can't really
comprehend most of the article, but yeah. What's your take on that, on the too big to fail thing and all of that?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on your point of view. I mean, do you let General Motors go under and all the parts suppliers and all people like that, you know, lose their jobs? I guess not. You know, we've lost, 4.5 million jobs in the last year or two. So maybe you try to keep them afloat. I don't know
right.
the answer,
well,
Stephanie.
And, Jack, somebody made the point yesterday, which I thought was a good one. It's like, well, you know, the unions had to make all these concessions.
Mm-hmm.
And what,
yeah.
These AIG executives, they get
yeah.
bonuses? They don't
Nothing.
Have to make any concessions.
Nothing. There's something really rotten there. I mean, it's and the thing that's too bad is it tends to obscure, I think, the bigger picture of what the government's trying to do. And I think they're trying to do the right thing by a lot of these things. But then this AIG story sort of gets in the spotlight, and you can't really, you don't see anything else that's going on, because it's
right.
all rhetoric about this.
Well, you know, every headline makes you madder than the last one. Then the news yesterday is that AIG is sending money to bail out foreign banks.
Yeah, well,
our taxpayer money to bail out, you know, banks and jerks. Like, what?
You know, they should stuff them all in Bernie Madoff's cell with him.
Yeah.
So, Jack, what else do you take on in the book?
Well, we just, you know, look at the coming of this Barack Obama, which, I have this feeling that if he doesn't make any big mistakes, he could be a kind of a transformational figure for us, and God, do we need one right now.
He's apparently making us less safe, according to Dick Cheney.
Well, you know, Dick Cheney had his 8 years, and that's part of the reason we're, you know, sitting here talking about bailouts and stuff. I mean, nobody was watching the candy store. The SEC had three different red flags go up the post on Bernie Madoff, and they didn't do anything. You know, the whole Bush Cheney cabal was, you know, let's let everybody just do whatever the hell they want, and as long as we get ours, you know, it's going to be okay. So I'm not real interested in Dick Cheney's opinions on much of anything.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, John King did do a good job of putting up all the numbers. Bush, Cheney, and now, you know, the unemployment, job law, I mean, all just everything, and Cheney's just, his response as usual is so.
Yeah, exactly. He's an arrogant, nasty man, I think. I've never met him, but somebody wrote to me yesterday and said, you know, he's irrelevant. That's the right word for him. He is irrelevant.
Yeah, why does he keep talking, and why do we keep talking to him?
Well, somebody asked him for an interview, I guess. You know, these politicians are like coin-operated
condom machines. You put in the money, and those things come out, you know, interviews in the case of the politicians.
There's a joke in there I won't go for. Anyway.
Yeah, there is.
All right.
I tried to hand that one to you. Better you get in trouble than me.
We're a little family show. It's something that you'd put on a Dick Cheney.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So in your opinion, you know, what is it? Because I know that you do always take on both parties. Well, what is the Democratic Congress doing wrong? What is the you know, president doing anything wrong yet, in your opinion? And
I think he's made a couple of small mistakes. Some of these cabinet appointments weren't vetted very well. I mean, how do you ask Tom Daschle to do anything except maybe vacuum the car? with all the problems he's had, and a couple of the others. And I'm not so sure that maybe even some of the appointments he's made are going to prove to be the best choices. I mean, somebody had I was watching Bill Maher or something. They said, they're going to get an actual deer in the headlights to replace Tim Geithner.
He doesn't
inspire a lot of confidence, if you will, in me. And I think, but on balance, I mean, how long has Obama had the job? Not very long.
Right.
He's got to deal with Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. I mean, you talk about, two evil children. Those two are, that's about as bad as it gets. I think his job would be a lot easier if he could get rid of Pelosi and Reid, but he can't. So, that's just a handicap.
You are going on record as calling them the bad seeds then. Is that what you're saying?
They're awful.
Why?
They're horrible.
Why?
Why?
Just asking. Just asking.
Oh, geez, let's start with impeachments off the table, okay?
I agree with you on that.
How might all of our lives have been different had that sentence not been uttered and that mindset not been adopted?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So let's, we can start there, and then, and you don't have a long enough show to go through the whole deal.
I know. Well, you really were great at detailing. I have to say, I'm a partisan, but this is, in my lifetime at least, the biggest mess I can ever, remember any president leaving.
Yeah, and I'm older than you are, and I agree. It's the biggest in my lifetime as well. It's, I guess you can't blame it all on the Bush administration, but you sure can put most of it there.
Let's end with the topic most important to me, and that is you and me. You are cheating on me with Michelle Obama, and I want to know why. What is your deal with Michelle Obama?
I wish that it were so. She's hot. What do you want from her? She's absolutely hot. I think she's terrific. I wrote this column a couple of weeks ago about
her.
I have a crush on her, and I just think she's
terrific.
You know
how many of my listeners sent it to me to make me jealous? They're like, Jack's cheating on you. Oh, man.
What kind of arms do you have, Jeff?
She has very toned arms.
Not like those. As I've said before, it's the only time right-wingers are for arms control, but
Oh, very good.
Can you believe they're actually spending time talking about that with all the problems facing our country, that Michelle Obama's showing her arms too much?
Well, some people have no life. On the other hand, she's a very compelling figure,
yes.
and just what a breath of fresh air.
I know. I was on CNN on Sunday on Howard Kurtz's show, and that was one of the topics is the coverage too glowing of Michelle Obama? It's like, well, she is greeted like a rock star where she goes,
Well, what are you going to say that's bad about her?
Right.
I'm listening. Come up with some criticism. I mean, she's done everything right since from the get-go, I think.
I know.
Once she got past the, maybe it was a misunderstanding, but for the first time in my life, I'm proud of my country. That was a long time ago, but she hasn't missed a beat since then.
Right.
And every day, it's just, she's another ray of sunshine doing something, whether it's meeting with government workers or going and serving food in a soup kitchen. I mean, did you see Barbara Bush in a soup kitchen?
Many of those people were disadvantaged anyway, so it's working out very well for them to meet the First Lady.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that on TV. You just can't fake it. You can't fake that kind of warmth and niceness.
And when she goes to the schools and you see the way the kids respond to her, kids have great BS detectors.
Yep.
I've got four kids. And it's tough to run a scam on them. They kind of get it. And, I mean, they warm to her in a heartbeat, and it's the real stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, and I was saying on CNN, that's hilarious. Like, the right wing thinks they just need to pick on something, and I'm like, First ladies don't take, controversial stands. She's for helping military families. Who's against that? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Exactly. She's for education. No, we're against that.
The Republicans have no clue what they're about at this moment,
I think. Wow, it is pretty sad. How about that new RNC chair?
Oh, boy.
Baby?
You mean Rush Limbaugh.
Hey, hey! Always get out on a joke. The book is Now or Never, Getting Down to the Business of Saving Our American Dream. One man doing it single-handedly. CNN's Jack Cafferty. Thank you, Jack.
Stephanie, always nice to be with you.
You too, honey. Thanks. All right, there he goes. He didn't call me baby this time.
He called you honey.
He did.
Yeah.
So Robert Reich the other day was saying that we should break up AIG, which is what I said the other day.
Yes. Really?
Break it up into all of its constituents.
No company that, important should ever be allowed to get that big.
And it's because of Glass-Steagall being repealed.
I think there is a new common wisdom in America today. That is lead follower. Get out of Jim Ward's way. Chuck Grassley talking to you. 44 minutes after the hour, right back with all of that as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Remember, you heard it on this channel first.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Tim in Buffalo on AIG. Hi, Tim.
Good morning. Regarding the bailout and the payments to the executives, why not have the IRS just take it back in taxes, tweak the tax code a bit, and...
Yeah, somebody mentioned that yesterday. Tax it at 100%. Tee-hee. Ha-ha! Just saying, we're just coming up with the solutions on our own.
Chuck Dodd, Chris Dodd, Senator Chris Dodd suggested that yesterday, so it may happen.
They're stealing everything from the Stephanie Miller Show. You notice, and we say it here first.
Yeah.
Brian in Buffalo, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Mama. Hi, Mo.
Baby.
I just wanted to chime in on something that Jim just said recently. He commented on something called Glass-Steagall. That was legislation put in place years and years ago to keep financial institutions from getting into other people's arenas.
And
banking,
Phil Graham
only did banking.
Had that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Insurance only did insurance. When that was removed, then all the companies, all the different financial companies out there could go across boundaries and do what other companies used to be doing only by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What most people don't realize is that this didn't just start with Bush Cheney. This started way, way back. Way
right.
back when the most evil of presidents got into office, Ronald Reagan.
All right. Thank you, honey. Yeah. Yep, I hear you.
Dismantling the New Deal. From which the Reagan family benefited greatly during the Depression.
Here's how you know things have really gotten bad, Jim, is Donald Trump is not going to buy something to put his name on.
That's huge.
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 Huge. He has pulled out of a bid to rescue the crumbling Lou's Castle in the... Where the hell is that?
Not that Lou.
No, not that Lou. Four firms registered their interest
Scotland?
When the deadline passed. Yeah, but the Trump Organization confirmed Donald Trump is not one of them. It's a decaying castle. He was going to convert it into a huge hotel.
Not that huge.
High
only
quality.
60 rooms. Only 60 rooms. It's not huge. Not
wasn't,
really huge enough.
It wasn't huge enough.
That's
probably the problem. Mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne and Keith Richards have been named in a poll of the most controversial stars.
I knew that. It was right there. Keith.
They were both beaten out by Sex Pistol Sid Vicious. And that's what they were just grumbling about. Thank you, Jim.
Because he's,
they came in second and third.
So, obviously, he's going to take the cake.
Exactly. Who wants to hear a Bob Barker sex shocker?
Confused.
What?
Not really, but
again?
I'm going to tell you anyway. See, breaking news on Bob Barker. Years before hosting The Price is Right, Bob Barker once considered an offer to appear in porn.
Wow.
He just threw up in my mouth a little
bit.
Wow.
Oh, dear. Bob says at the time he... This is in his new book. At the time, he was a buff photography model in Palm Beach. Oh, dear. Pictures of him ended up in ads on roadmaps with Bob posing as a smiling gas station attendant.
Ew.
Where did you want to stick the nozzle?
Don't touch the nozzle. Okay.
Yeah.
The hunky photos caught the attention of another photographer who met with Bob when he went west to California to seek his fame and fortune. This man had other plans for Bob. Then he asked him to appear in porn movies. Bob turned down the offer and went on to find fame. As host of The Price is Right.
Bob Crane shot his own porn movies.
Yeah.
All right.
Entirely different Bob.
Meghan McCain is mad that apparently Laura Ingraham is making fat jokes about her. She went on The View to talk about I don't. This is just the Republicans eating their own over and over again. I don't know what's happening here.
I don't know that you'd consider Meghan McCain a Republican, though.
She was an independent, but she got
Laura Ingraham said she didn't get the role in the real world because they don't like plus size models. Meghan McCain said, "What kind of message are we sending young women? It infuriates me. I'm a political writer on a blog, and all of a sudden I'm too fat to write." Apparently, I died.
She's very attractive.
She's only like she's a size 8 or something.
And then she said on The View, "Kiss my fat ass."
But she's
Laura
not
Ingraham
as...
has the body fat of a Cub Scout. I don't I've shaken one of her bony hands. All right, Scott. Oh, it's crazy religious right-wing Scott on St. Patrick's Day. Good morning, Scott.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Miller and Mr. Ward. How are you?
Good.
Today is St. Patrick's Day.
Thank
and today's an appropriate day because I feel that Celtic and Anglo-Saxon culture in this country has greatly disintegrated at the expense of blacks and Hispanics.
You're sticking up for minorities today?
Well, no. What I'm saying is that affirmative action and reverse discrimination has really destroyed white culture in this country, and whites are petrified of saying anything, doing anything that's perceived as bigoted or racist.
No, you come on my show and spew your racist, bigoted comments several times a week.
And surprisingly, we give you a forum.
But most whites are petrified of saying
anything. Except for you.
For being petrified of being perceived as racist, bigot. I want to let you know something. I've been a victim of affirmative action. I lost a job because of affirmative action.
What kind of job?
To a sales job to a black man.
Oh.
And
how do you know he wasn't better qualified?
No, I was smarter than he was. And he only got the job because they had to meet a quota for blacks.
Oh.
But
and you know that how?
Oh, I know that for a fact. But what I'm saying is that...
And it wouldn't have been because you were a crazy bigoted guy that lives with his mom, right?
No, not at all.
No.
But I'm going to tell you something right now. Affirmative action, reverse discrimination, this is all I attribute to Jewish liberalism in this country.
Yes. I knew we were going to get to that. Oh, Scott, I got to go. There's a black guy on the other line. Thanks.
Erin O'Brien and Heil Hitler to you as well.
Okay. That actually would have been funny if Kevin in D.C. was on the other line.
Yeah, that
would have been
sorry.
Great.
That's funny. Okay, billions of taxpayer dollars, American dollars, are being used to bail out insurance giants AIG. They're flowing to some of the largest foreign banks in the world.
It's the American International Group. That's the international part.
See? Well, that's how you were intending for your tax dollars to go to save banks in Germany.
Whatever.
The disclosure of U.S. taxpayer money going to foreign banks rankled some analysts.
Oh.
Or anyone that is a carbon-based life form at this point, I'm guessing. These revelations raise serious questions about the extent to which U.S. taxpayers are being asked to bail out foreign banks. Oh, why are French and German authorities not asked to pick up the tab for their portion of the potential AIG losses?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because
we're suckers.
There you go. I guess that's as good an answer as any. So President Obama on Monday vowed to try to stop the AIG from paying out the bonuses to executives as the administration scrambled to avert a backlash against banks and Wall Street that could complicate the economic recovery. The president yesterday...
AIG has received substantial sums from the U.S. Treasury. And I've asked Secretary Geithner to use that leverage and pursue every single legal avenue to block these bonuses and make the American taxpayers whole.
I think the legal avenues are exhausted.
White House. We're just suggesting different weapons. Chuck Grassley, a samurai sword, guillotines. I believe shooting was your solution yesterday.
How about a guitar?
Not without a trial.
How about a guitar heroes? Guitar hero.
A toy guitar.
Hit him in the head with guitars.
Perhaps Mrs. Skine's available. A White House official disclosed that the administration would use a pending $30 billion installment for AIG to recoup the $165 million in retention payments in the business unit that brought the company to the, brink of collapse. The president yesterday.
How do they justify this outrage to the taxpayers who are keeping the company afloat?
Thank you. All right, 57 minutes after the hour, back with Representative Adam Smith, Democrat of the great state of Washington, on this and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Hey, just to cheer you up next hour in these bad economic times, we will have the bald-headed prophet of doom, Ali Velshi.
Great.
From CNN.
Actually, this hour.
Oh, that's right. On the
yes.
Celebrity Hotline. Pardon moi. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, if only there was someone that could take us through this economic slog and tell us what the Congress is... What? Who is it, Chris?
It's Representative Adam Smith from the great state of Washington.
Hmm. We love him. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am good. I bet you you're getting a call or two about these AIG bonuses.
Yes. Yes. And a whole bunch of different issues surrounding the TARP money and all of the economic issues.
Yeah.
So, It's a major challenge, without question.
What is your take on this, on the AIG bonuses?
Well, things. Number one, there's two people that we don't want running AIG. One is the people who were running it when they ran it into the ground, and two is the government. The government's not well equipped to run a large insurance company, but apparently neither are the people who were running it beforehand.
Yes.
So we're caught between that. You want to get some new managers in there, but you don't want the government to have complete control of the company. And that's the balance and the challenge that we're all facing. And I think what the president has said, what Secretary Geithner says, the pressure they are bringing to bear to change some of these practices is absolutely appropriate. I do not, however, agree with the, we should go ahead and nationalize them, because I think that would create more problems than it solves. I think we have to continue to put pressure on them and replace the management and move forward and change the company.
Well, I know Barney Frank was talking about that on TV, Congressman, this weekend, about that maybe some people should get fired. But again, what legally are our remedies?
Well, we do own a substantial number of shares within AIG,
right.
So we can sort of do it the old-fashioned way. Theoretically, it is the shareholders who run these companies. Now,
right.
That, got battered and bruised over the course of the last 5 or 6 years as the shareholders were kept largely in the dark. But we have a big controlling stake in there. We have a lot to say with how that company is run.
That's true. So, and there's some populist fun in that. We could make it like the old show American Gladiators or something. We could have the American people, or that would be cathartic, wouldn't it? We could all be Mr. Spacely from the Jetsons. You're fire.
Yes, I suppose vengeance is cathartic, but I am still more focused on solving the problem,
right.
Getting the company up and running in the right direction, because it is absolutely true that so many people are owed money by AIG that if they go away and are unable to meet those obligations, it ripples throughout the economy and has a devastating impact.
Well, Congressman Smith, I've heard this, but I don't know if you read, there's an article in Time Magazine, The Case for Letting AIG Fail. I think the average American is getting confused about what companies should be let to fail and what shouldn't, and how what too big to fail means. And what is your take on all that?
Well, I think too big to fail is when there's nobody there to sort of pick up the pieces, because a number of folks have failed. Wachovia, out in my neck of the woods, the fine folks at Washington Mutual who led sort of the subprime disaster. Lehman Brothers was let to go on their own. Bear Stearns was taken over.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of WaMu is a good example. Yeah, they failed, but the FDIC stepped in, took them over for about 48 hours, and then J.P. Morgan stepped in, so all of the deposit holders, including me, were made whole. Nobody lost their money that they had in Washington Mutual, and the bank did in fact go under and is now part of something else. Contrast that with Lehman Brothers, which was huge, that just went away. And a whole ton of people who had made investments there lost all of the money, including a lot of community banks in my area.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, we're going to have to restructure the financial institutions in this country. We're already doing it. The question is it done in complete chaos, or is it done in a reasonable way that moves you to a better place painfully, but not catastrophically? And that's a tough balance. And it's a case-by-case basis. I agree with the public. I wish I had a little chart here sitting on my desk. Plug in a few numbers, and it tells you this is exactly what you have to do in this situation, but that's not the way it works.
So the Republicans have been screaming the president is doing nothing to help small businesses, and then yesterday he announced his plan to help small businesses.
Correct, yeah.
The president just keeps raining on their parade, doesn't he?
He does, and I'm very happy about that.
Tell us about the small business plan.
Well, I think, you know, it's always been this great myth that we haven't been doing anything up to this point. I mean, a huge chunk of the stimulus package was tax cuts that were specifically aimed at small businesses and to help them grow the economy. The other big piece of it is there are a lot, you know, horror of all horror, government programs out there through the Small Business Administration that help businesses grow and develop and get started. And enhancing those programs is a major, major benefit to small businesses. I know in my region we have specific agencies that work with small businesses to, you know, open up foreign markets, to do a whole variety of different issues that help them through these difficult times. So I think the president has a good plan on that. And overall, let's not forget, you know, just, you know, keeping the economy, you know, from going into a long-term depression is one of the best things that the president and we in Congress can do for small businesses.
Well, you know, boy, the Republicans aren't left with much these days, are they? They've been screaming about the president's budget and the pork, which, of course, was 1% of the actual bill. You've
right.
got Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader. He raked in $51 million for his state. He voted against the bill. But he
right.
railed against what he said was bloated spending. Following the vote, immediately, Congressman McConnell issued a press release, simultaneously announced his opposition to what he said was an oversized bill, and touted the millions of dollars he personally brought home for Kentucky.
Right.
I mean, are they kidding me?
Well, the budget thing to keep in mind is, while the Republicans are screaming about how outlandish our debts and our deficit are, they're right about that. There's no question the numbers are that great. What they're wrong about is, I love their ability. It's like, you know, Barack Obama took his hand down from swearing into the Bible, and they all looked up and said, it's his fault. Everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all his fault. And, you know, when you look at the budget projections for the next 10 years, if we just maintain existing policies that were basically in place from the Bush administration, we will generate $9 trillion more dollars in debt over the course of the next 10 years. Of that, we'll go ahead and own up to the $790 billion that was in the stimulus. That's $790 billion that's on our watch. I happen to think it was very necessary to help our struggling workers and struggling communities. But think about it. That's $790 million out of $9 trillion. The president's budget that they're screaming bloody murder about brings that number down to $7
trillion. Right, and here's a fun fact for you. Not only 40% of the earmarks requested by Republicans, 6 of the 10 senators that requested the most earmarks were Republicans.
Right, and let's also keep in mind that earmarks are not by definition pork.
Right.
I mean, if you're talking about, I mean,
some
earmark,
are.
Yeah. Yeah, some are, and I think we need those to be transparent. And frankly, whether it's an earmark or whether it's just, you know, some bureaucrat somewhere who's spending the money poorly, we need to shine a bright light on that. And that's why the stimulus bill had great transparency language in it. Specific websites where people can go. Anybody can go and track how the money is being spent. Make government spending transparent and accountable, whether it's an earmark or however it's spent.
Right.
The Republicans are sort of clinging to the earmark argument because, like you said, they really don't have anything else to talk about these
well,
days.
Well, you know, there's a bridge to nowhere, and then there's a bridge in Minneapolis that
right.
needed to be fixed, you know? So, I
Amen.
Mean, yeah, exactly. Thank you, sir. Representative Adam Smith, we appreciate you taking time for us. Thanks so much for checking in.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
You too, sir. There he goes.
Yay!
Representative Adam Smith, great state of Washington.
It didn't sound a bit like a nearly 300-year-old Scottish moral philosopher.
It's not that.
Father
not
modern economics. No, not that.
Not
Adam
that
Smith.
Adam Smith.
Oh, okay.
Although this
oh.
one did know a lot about
it
economics.
Does. Yes.
Jim
but
has,
he didn't have a Scottish accent.
Jim has misgoogled again.
Yes.
Oh, well.
All right. Let's let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we? Here we go, kids.
Yippee. It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. In news breaks here at Stay's Broken, our top story. As he twirled his beautiful, scantily dressed partner around a makeshift dance floor, a smiling Prince Charles looked as though he was having the time of his life as he joined in the welcoming ceremony prepared in his honor by a remote village in the heart of the Amazonian rainforest.
Really?
He's in the region with the Duchess of Cornwall to draw attention to climate change and deforestation. The prince, who had his shirt open and was wearing a string of beads he received from local well-wishers, looked especially laid back, was clearly enjoying the lighter moment. While Charles was boogieing in the rainforest, his wife was being treated to a fashion show featuring garments made of recycled rubbish. I guess she got the short end of the scheduling stick there.
She certainly did.
We have the queen on this one.
It has come to our attention that our first spawn has been espied on the Amazon, tripping the light fantastic, cutting a rug, shaking his booty with a lovely young thing from the rainforest. We applaud our progeny. Not only has the royal scepter that has been ensconced in his bum since birth seemed to have limbered up a touch, which we find an occasion for celebration, the fact that he seemed to enjoy consorting with a member of his own species for a brief stretch of time was the occasion for deep joy in our hearts. Perhaps he can be coaxed out of the stables and into the boudoir once again. We had our problems with Diana, but she had at least the advantage of femininity over equinity. Besides all that, our own experience in the steamy jungles led us to anticipate with a certain frisson the pleasures in store for our boy, should he turn his back on bestiality, even briefly. We well remember the light thwack of the blowgun dart as it embedded itself in our royal fundament, and the confusion that we experienced upon awakening, a confusion that turned quickly to joy and wonder, as we saw ourselves surrounded by exquisite miniature men and women, 2-1 naked save for a cunning little cush sex made from local vegetation. Need we describe the speed at which those G-strings were shed? Must we explain the mechanics of the subsequent writhing amongst entire village populations? Is it entirely necessary to paint the lusty picture of our regal privates being made public for the bronze denizen of the forest? We thought not. Although we do surmise, were you to liquor us up some evening and coax the whole fetid, joyful encounter out of us, I believe the both of us might well be thoroughly amused. See you at the bar.
Oh, dear.
Once again, I'm always startled by what a skank biscuit the Queen truly is.
Now I got off on that track, but...
Okay, and finally, North Korean leader Kim Jong-il has ordered the opening of the isolated country's first Italian restaurant, despite the nation's continuing struggle to feed its 24 million people. Kim Jong-il, a reported gourmand, sent North Korean cooks to Naples and Rome last year to learn how to reproduce an authentic Italian pizza and pasta after repeated trial and error.
Huh.
Our people should be allowed to enjoy the world-famous food, the Pyongyang eatery manager quoted Mr. Kim as saying.
I'm guessing mostly error.
It's unclear how many North Koreans can afford to eat out, let alone eat imported food. Yeah. The country does, however, have an elite who enjoy luxuries. Mr. Kim, believed to be a lover of cognac, French wine, and delicacies such as shark fin soup and caviar. We have dear leader.
K to the J to the I-L in the pizzy. See, I changed it up for this story. So, Dick in the West, now, you all think dear leader want to keep his people isolated from the delicious, luscious treat of the world? That I want to keep my lobster and ragavurin to myself? Bullcrap! Well, not the part about the lobster and ragavurin. Anybody touch that, they get sent north for re-education. But I bring in the world cuisine to the population right now. We gonna all eat pizza! Oh, yeah, wrap up your sleeve about how we're going to put kimchi and bulgogi and chapchae on our pizza. That's a noodly thing, Korean food. But the wrath on you! We're not only going to make a delicious pie, we're going to go green and recycle when we do. Anybody can make pizza dough with flour and yeast and good water. It takes Korean genius to make a crust out of ground-up nuclear waste. The beauty is, it cooks itself. And also the chef who makes it, but we got a lot of chefs. And the sauce? Well, tomatoes don't grow too well in People's Republic, so we do the next best thing. We use the blood of dissidents. That's right. Capitalist traitors are going to feed the people. And you know all those dried-up cows that are laying around because we couldn't feed them? Beef jerky pizza! Chewy and good, with plenty of maggot to look like mozzarella and for texture. Just no pizza going to be a big hit amongst a glorious working class. Mainly because if it isn't, the working class gonna start pushing up the garden grass. When the moon hits our eye like a big pizza pie, that's the victory of the proletariat over the elite bourgeoisie running jackals. Keep out.
Doesn't scan well.
No.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. If you'd like more Jim Ward, call
Roll. Propaganda really does.
Yeah, check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a banner ad there on the Stephanie Miller website. StephanieMiller.com, that is.
Boy, howdy. 20 minutes after the hour. Chuck Grassley, a good start with the samurai sword, perhaps. Free IG executives. I think it should be like that scene in Airplane. We all get to line up with a different weapon.
Sure.
Maybe not use them, just saying. It's just in a cathartic populist sense.
Until they give us our money back.
I will be bringing my Montana guitar. Okay, back with that. CNN's Ali Velshi and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
It's absolutely perfection.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Robert in Fort Lauderdale on AIG. Hi, Robert. Welcome.
Hey, what's up, Steph?
Not much. Go ahead.
I listen to your show every day, first of all.
You.
I got to say, I love it. You have me cracking up all day.
Thank you.
Quick question. If we didn't bail them out, then they wouldn't have money to give these bonuses. So why is there even a debate? We should just say, hey, it's our money.
Well, look, I'm not a lawyer, but yeah, I mean, first of all, A, it's too late. We already did bail them out, and B, you know, I think the president is, he's doing what he can. I mean, he's ordering Secretary Geithner to explore every legal avenue that we have to recoup
the
money.
There should have been some conditions on the money. Okay, here you go. Here's the money.
And why?
It's like, they're like the Bush administration, AIG. They wouldn't do that, would they? Can they do that? What the?
Why would that kind of company performance merit bonuses anyway?
Oh, well,
they were already promised before the bailout. And what's his name? Liddy, the guy that's in charge, he took over after all of these bonuses were already agreed to and written and whatever.
Yeah, well, things change.
Yeah, things change. Rob in Chicago on the AIG. Hey, Rob, welcome.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, guys. Yeah, I just had a comment about the bonuses. I know most average people are angry because they figure they don't deserve it, and there's kind of it's kind of a common theme that most people think that anyone that makes more than they do somehow don't deserve it. I realize with the bonuses, they say a lot of them were the contracts were entered into before the company got in trouble or before the TARP money made available
right.
Before the most recent. My question is anyone looking into the bonuses themselves? My understanding is there's bonuses, there's incentives, and there's retention money. Now, retention money is probably based on longevity, so they're obligated. If the guy was there X amount of time, he gets it. But an incentive, I would think, implies some sort of performance target had to be made. The same thing with the bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So if the company's flowing red ink, as much as it is, I would think that mark didn't get met. I mean, has anyone talked about looking at the actual contracts rather than say, oh, the checks are in the mail or they, you know, were agreed to before this?
Mm-hmm. I think these were retention/signing bonuses, and I don't think they were performance-based bonuses.
Speaking of things change, look, a lot of people in, let's just pick a business out of the blue. Oh, radio have lost their jobs. Even on air people, they go, oh, I have a 3-year contract, whatever, that you have to pay out.
Well,
a lot of these companies, exactly, these companies are worth, one of them, it's worth a penny. It's worth a penny now. What the companies that we're talking about? Literally, their stock is a penny. So, you know, yeah, things change. Elliot in L.A. real quick on AIG. Go ahead, Elliot.
You know, we have contractual obligations to pay out pension funds. When companies get in trouble and they get bailed out privately and some speculator takes them over and liquidates the pension fund, puts it in his pocket, he's abrogating a contract that was abrogated by the fact that the company failed. It's the same problem with AIG, and those bonuses should not be at issue.
Yeah, well, exactly. The people that lost their money, they don't get that back. That's like, hey, too bad, so sad, right?
Yeah.
CNN's bald-headed prophet of doom, Ali Velshi, to cheer us all up next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Now, I went to a St. Patrick's Day party last night, and every important Irish celebrity in Hollywood was there. Maureen O'Hara.
Stephanie Miller.
Dan O'Herlihy. Pat O'Brien.
I thought you were Polish.
Yeah, that too. I'm a mutt. Polish, Irish, German. Me and the O'Hurleys, you know, we go way back.
Yeah, you and the O'Haras.
33 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie O'Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, I believe I was woman enough to admit that the Time Magazine article about why we should let AIG fail, way over my head. Way, could not comprehend most of it, even sober. And
yeah.
You know, you need an expert these days. You really do. If only some... Ah! Who is it, Chris?
It's CNN's chief business correspondent, Ali Velshi.
Oh, my God. Good morning, Mr. Sunshine.
Oh, Velshi to you today.
You know, you're the only guest we've had where they said, this is tentative because he might be talking to Tim Geithner.
Right. I'll be talking to Tim Geithner tomorrow, I hope. Actually.
Okay. See, I would like you, I like it at one point to get to the point where you would say, Mr. Geithner, I can't. Stephanie Miller is on the phone. I can't.
Well, we're getting there.
Yeah. So, Ali, first of all, tell us about CNN is going to devote an entire week of coverage to the global economic crisis, right? March 16th through the 20th?
Yeah, it's this week right now, and we are trying to, what we're doing is we're leveraging all of our resources at CNN. A lot of people watch CNN and think that we give you the news and we're all in studios, but, you know, we have a lot of bureaus and a worldwide organization, and this recession that we're in, it matters to understand what's going on in the rest of the world. We don't recover from this, without not only our nation recovering, but the rest of the world being on a track to recovery. So we're just trying to tell the whole story, go a little further than we normally go, but ultimately, Stephanie, your point when you introduced this is the main one, and that is there's no point in going further if we don't do a good job of understanding the base of what the problem is. And AIG has become the bane of my existence because it is a terribly complicated story, but it does affect us all.
Well, that's the thing is I got to tell you, the more and more this goes on, I find myself, and I think most Americans, Ali, are getting really overwhelmed. You know, like, I think we already had bailout fatigue, and now you're like, what? AIG's giving our tax money for bonuses for people that screwed this up? I mean, you know, the problem is some things are really easy to understand like that,
no,
right?
This one's not only complicated in the way that it's complicated, but it's complicated because it goes against common sense. The AIG's received $170 billion from the government. Four different times the government has stepped in to keep this company afloat because it is so complicated and so tied into our economic system. Remember, Lehman Brothers failed. Lehman Brothers wasn't nearly as interconnected to the world as AIG was, and Lehman Brothers' failure triggered a global financial crisis. So I'm definitely firmly in the camp of AIG can't be allowed to fail. Mm-hmm. That said, I'm not understanding why they are compelled to continue to offer these bonuses when, you know, they say, look, the people who get these bonuses are there because they're important to the system to make sure that AIG unwinds its very complicated business. But the truth is, lots of other people have had their contracts broken and been thrown out of work across this country, and we're not paying for them. We're not giving them some sort of leg up. We are talking about major bonuses here. We can't get a straight answer out of AIG. The government now saying they're going to try and do everything they can, either legally or through the leverage that they have over AIG, to try and change the situation.
Well, so, again, maybe this is just, above my legal pay grade, but can't the people that are supposed to get the bonuses say, in lieu of everything, we're going to refuse them? I mean, isn't that a PR move they really ought to pull?
Well, yeah, the bonuses, so we're talking about $1.2 billion in bonuses paid out over 2008. Much of that was paid before all of this mess, but really what's at the core of this is $450 million that is being paid to about 400 employees of a group called AIG Financial Products. Now, they worked out of London, and they were the core of all of the problem. AIG was an otherwise very healthy company, but for this group that was involved in some very complicated financial transactions, and they were the heart of the problem that really destroyed AIG. Now, the bonuses range from some people who are getting $1,000, and that was probably administrative staff, and that's fine, all the way to several people who are getting $3 million. Yeah. And the position that those people are taking is that they have a contract, they're called retention bonuses, that they're paid that money to stay at the company and not go somewhere else. Now, my question to you is this. Where exactly would they go?
Like there's anywhere else to go. All the other companies going under.
Stars? I mean, I don't understand where you go to make this kind of money.
You don't give me a bonus. I'm going to Lehman. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's the part of the argument I don't buy. That where would they go? There aren't a whole lot of people doing this these days.
Yeah, that's listen. We're all in the same boat. You know, we can threaten all we want in radio. There, we got nowhere to go.
Right, well, that's right. That's what it is.
Every company is sicker than the next one.
So if you can hoodwink your employers into thinking that if they don't pay you this kind of thing, you're going to go somewhere more lucrative. Then I wonder whether the company is a little bit dumber than we thought. But bottom line is, I think there's a great deal of outrage about this, and something's going to be done.
So now the series, I understand, Ellie, is it's highlighting the stories of everyday Americans and offering solutions, resources, ideas to help navigate through the crisis,
yeah.
Which I think is really a public service these days because it is a mess. I mean, it's a complicated mess.
It is, and the way we're trying to approach this is sort of through a macro-micro lens, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. There are some things that we need to know that are going on at a government level, at a decision-making level, at a stock market level, and a corporate level, just so that you understand what's happening out there. But we're also trying to connect it to the individual to say, well, how might this money from stimulus, for instance, work its way into your community? What jobs might you see, or how might your small business be helped? How do you go and actually access that help, or where do you go for that job? So we're sort of moving between the micro and the macro, which I think is the most relevant way to make the story connect to people, because it doesn't really matter if we talk about it at this high level and you don't understand how it connects to you. So that's going to be our goal. We are trying to tell every story from different perspectives.
Now, the president has expressed optimism in the long term. I don't know if you are contractually required as the prophet of doom to not be optimistic, but what is your take on this and how long we're going to be in this soup?
Well, I'll tell you, first of all, recessions end. This one is deep and it's long, but they do end. They're a natural rebalancing of things that have gone out of balance. So, it will end. Now, the administration and Ben Bernanke have been saying that they think it will end this year, assuming all of the money that's put into the system by the government actually starts to work, and that next year will be a year of growth. Now, that doesn't mean we get back to normal anytime soon. We probably won't get back to the unemployment rate of about 5% before we started this recession, probably for another 4 or 5 years. But there are really three things that we need to look at. One is the stock market will go up first. It goes up typically ahead of everything else. It's a leading indicator, as we call it. Housing prices will start to stabilize and people will start to buy homes. And we've seen some indication of that this morning. A report out said that the number of homes that started under construction last year was the highest in 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. And then we'll start to see jobs, but that's later. Jobs tend to be what we call a lagging indicator. They start to adjust after everything else starts to adjust. But bottom line is people will start to spend when they feel like they're not going to lose their job. Maybe their home will go up. Maybe their retirement investments will go up, and they've got a few bucks in the bank.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's the same everywhere around the country, but, I talked to an accountant here in L.A. that said, it's almost impossible. You can have a realtor come tell you what your house is, they think it's worth, but they said it's impossible to know because nothing's selling. He has a client that has a, pretty high-end house on the market for 2 years,
right.
No offer. I mean,
yeah, the house can be worth something, but if the buyer can't get adequate credit, that's the problem. I mean, interest rates are low. They're still in the 5% range for a 30-year fixed mortgage, assuming you can get a mortgage. And that continues to be the problem. People are having trouble getting mortgages. They can't easily get loans for cars. People with the best credit can. The problem is people with what we would have thought of as having good credit are having trouble. And that's where the problem is. We don't want to start getting back into the problem that we were in and that everybody who applied for anything could get a loan. We just want to start making credit flow a little more easily so that, it is a risk, but people who are good risks can get credit and start to buy again. But, Stephanie, our system is...
Listen, I didn't have a job when I bought my house, but I've been good for it.
Yeah, there you go. We're going to change the way we buy things. I think we're going to move from a society that buys the TV and pays for it over 2 years into one that saves for 2 years and buys the TV.
Yep, absolutely.
And that's what needs to happen,
It's not a bad thing. Yeah. There'll be a lot of pain until then.
Yeah.
Until we all get back into that game.
Yep, absolutely. Ali Velshi, CNN's bald-headed prophet of doom. I want to run my fingers through your baldness sometimes, so just to be to comfort myself.
Anytime.
I appreciate it. Ali, thanks for taking time for us.
Good to talk to you.
All right, there he goes.
Fortunately,
Ali Velshi from CNN.
If we get back to that... that idea, a lot of stores, more stores are going to go under in the meantime.
Yeah.
Because no one's buying.
Yeah.
If they're spending time saving up
yep.
with their decreased salaries, well, assuming they have any.
You know, that's how I try and buy things. You know, my TV, I bought with cash. You know, you save up for it, and then you buy it with cash.
You just take a big sack and go. Then,
with a big dollar sign on the side.
Exactly. It all looks like cartoons. First best, walking around with sacks with dollar signs.
And then Best Buy goes the way of Circuit City, and, you know,
it's just a
downward spiral.
43 minutes after the hour. Hey, I thought we were the home of happy clappy liberalism. Yeah. Come on, everybody. Turn those frowns upside down. 43 minutes after the hour, back with the latest on AIG and much more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Warren in Madison on AIG and Senator Grassley's comments. Hello, Warren.
Yes, Mr. Grassley has really been getting my craw lately, and I think he might have committed a political suicide with his suicide comments. Maybe it was his macaca moment. If it was a high school student stood up in class and said, hey, I wish one of my teachers would resign or commit suicide, I believe that student would not only be sent down to the principal's office, he'd probably be expelled.
Yeah, well, the Congress people are sort of stepping over each other in an effort to express more populist rage on the TV.
Yeah.
The spokesperson is always more entertaining than the actual. Iowa Senator Charles Grassley suggested the AIG executive should take a Japanese approach toward accepting responsibility for the collapse of the insurance giant by resigning or killing themselves. He said, I would suggest the first thing that would make me feel a little bit better toward them if they'd follow the Japanese example and come before the American people and take that deep bow and say, I'm sorry, then either do one of two things, resign or go commit suicide. And in the case of the Japanese, they usually commit suicide before they make an apology.
Yes.
Grassley spokeswoman Casey Mills, that's got to be a tough job. She said the senator isn't calling for AIG executives to kill themselves. That's funny because he just said... But said those who accept tax dollars and spend them on travel and bonuses do so irresponsibly. That's what he meant to say.
Oh, I see. Well, okay.
There does still happen in Japan. Rarely. But I think I remember hearing some years ago about a Japanese tanker captain who committed... seppuku. Because... he'd run aground or something.
Committed
like that.
What? Bless you?
Seppuku.
Okay, Mr. Obama.
Harakiri. Okay.
President Obama called AIG a corporation that finds itself in financial distress due to recklessness and greed, the president.
This is not just a matter of dollars and cents. It's about our fundamental values.
Robert, you know what, though? Yeah. He is losing quite a bit of political capital on this thing. You know, he did promise.
This is not good for anybody.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, like I said, this Time magazine article really above my pay grade. And I swear I read it sober, Chris. I swear I read
you?
It this morning. Yes.
Well, then what is that red wine circular stain on it?
Shh. No, don't speak.
Please,
oh. Don't speak.
You fell asleep after the first paragraph.
I did skip a little bit.
Yeah.
But The headline is The Case for Letting AIG Fail. There's an uproar about whether the government should let AIG fail, a debate re-energized by last week's the latest revelation of bonus payments going to AIG executives. In fact, there's a good case to be made that AIG should fail. It has nothing to do with bonuses. The rescue of AIG is warping the banking system and unnecessarily extending the credit crisis.
I just wish we had...
That's as far as I got. I don't
Krugman
really understand the ins and outs of it, but...
We had Krugman and Reich in there instead of Summers and Geithner.
Yeah, I second that. One point I did get they made in Time magazine, at the very least there should be full transparency. Any institution receiving money from the government and ultimately from American taxpayers should reveal its holdings.
Mm.
We focus too much on each individual bank and its possibility for failure, but the economy does not need every bank to survive. It needs most. Right now we need to know which ones. By propping up financial institutions with unknown potential losses, the government is prolonging the uncertainty about whether they will fail. This perpetuates the crisis of confidence in which banks do not trust each other enough to loan money, which I thought was a good point.
Yeah.
They also Time magazine, and don't get the Beavis and Butthead laugh out.
Whatever you do, don't
it
do that.
It says, read AIG's distress. Are there enough fingers for this dyke?
Yeah.
He said fingers in dyke.
Renee in North Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG as well. Hi, Renee.
Hey. You know, talking about the bonuses is great fun, but I think it's kind of keeping us diverted from asking another question. At Huffington Post right now, there's an article, AIG, $90 billion bailout funds went to foreign
banks. Yep. We talked about that today.
And domestic banks, including some bailout recipients. Now, what I want an answer to the question on why we're bailing out the foreign banks, and I may have the answer.
What?
I had read an article a few months ago that some of the foreign buyers and banks of these junk mortgage-backed securities that had been rated AAA, when they found out they had junk, they were threatening to sue for fraud, which would have revealed the criminality of Wall Street. So this bailout thing, they had to figure out a way to funnel money to these foreign banks
as a bribe,
to keep them from suing for fraud. But I want answers from politicians on this, because aren't we supposed to be getting transparency now?
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Good point. Lloyd in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Allegedly, and when you're talking about criminals, I guess you should use the term allegedly, AIG bonuses must be paid due to pre-existing contracts. If that's true, why shouldn't they be based on the pre-existing profits in existence at the time of when the contracts were made?
Well,
why should they be paid after we put in all that taxpayer money?
Well, they were signing and retention bonuses. They were not bonuses based on profit or loss. So that's the problem we have.
No, but what I'm saying is it should be based on the financial condition, on the amount of money they had in pocket at the time. If they didn't have any money back then, how in hell would they have paid the bonuses?
That's a good question that appears to have stumped us all. I don't know. Huh. Brian in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG. Hey, Brian.
Hey, you know, I know that AIG is not a monopoly, but the monopoly laws in this country were set up to avoid a company getting that large that it'd be so catastrophic if they go under. So really we should look at preventing something like this from happening again and figure out why we allowed this to happen in the first place.
Well, because Phil Graham wanted to repeal Glass-Steagall.
Yep.
That's why.
Yeah. Insurance companies should never be in the financial business.
And, yeah, and commercial banks should not be lumped in with investment banks.
Right.
It's an entirely different animal.
Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary.
Since the rules to drawing down on that haven't been finalized, taxpayer protections in order to make people whole can be added.
Wow. I don't know about that.
It sounded like he was just talking out of his butt there.
Representative. And now, here's some more of that from Barney Frank.
Maybe it's time to fire some people. We can't keep them getting their bonuses, but we can keep some of them continuing in their jobs.
That is
can
true.
We? So, I guess we can. We
own
80%
of the company.
So, yeah.
Let's all do it together.
You're fired.
Fired. Jetson!
Unfortunately, Mr. Spacely doesn't work for AIG.
Yeah,
I think that would be remarkably freeing for all of us to be able to do that with our lips. We all could get in big town hall, big national town hall, line up all the AIG executives.
Yeah, but apparently we own the debt and the risk, but we have no power.
Well, who approved that? Owners. Who approved that? Huh?
Senator Harry Reid yesterday.
These executive bonuses are beyond even outrageous. I don't know what a term is. It is more definitive than outrageous, but outrageous does the trick.
Do the senators draw straws to figure out which words that each of them can use? Mitch McConnell.
This is absolutely appalling.
No, damn it, he took outrageous. I need appalling. Where is my populist rage book?
Yeah, they're all jumping on the populist bandwagon right
Jennifer
now.
Jennifer in Connecticut. John Stewart said it the other night. Populist rage is strangely arousing. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Stephanie. Love you most.
Love you the most of anything.
I was just wondering, if these are retention bonuses, doesn't that mean that they're trying to keep these employees so they have to pay them the bonuses so they stay? Why don't they just fire them and then they don't have to pay the bonuses?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And there's nowhere for them to go anyway.
I don't know that it's
I'm
that
retaining.
Easy,
I'm retaining water. Can I get a bonus?
Yeah.
Kirsten Powers.
I think as a political matter that the Obama administration is going to be in trouble if they can't do something about this, because Obama came out and said, these are greedy people and I'm not going to let this happen. And once you lay that down, you better be able to follow up on it.
and she's the Fox liberal.
Well, that's
but,
a Fox liberal.
But you know what?
Yeah.
She has a point.
Yeah.
Prostitute toe-sucker Dick Morris on Hannity.
I've gone from wondering if Obama is a leftist or a centrist to deciding he's a leftist, obviously. He's obviously a socialist.
Obviously.
The question now is... Is he a competent socialist? I mean, the only thing this guy seems capable of doing is spending money. When you ask him to alleviate the problem with the banks, he fails it. His rescue plan, nobody's even put a dime into it. Nothing's happening.
Wow. Wow. Okay. 57 minutes after the hour. What are we doing? Back with Tinsel Talk and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. If you missed the interviews with CNN's Jack Cafferty, CNN's Ali Velshi, or Representative Adam Smith, that'll be up at stephaniemiller.com after the show. You can also email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, who is too much of a loser to get out of jury duty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care now. Okay. Bye-bye then.
Loser. The Stephanie Miller Show, of course, encourages you to do your civic duty in America. Unless, of course, you work for
Stephanie Miller.
And then...
you're fired.
All right. Or voice deity Jim Ward. You can email us all. Thank you, Tony, for filling in again for the last hour of the show. Chris had to tell me, Jim, who knew? Apparently it's illegal to fire someone for getting jury duty. Lucky for him. All right, let's...
and illegal to fire anyone from AIG, apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. And apparently, I have to give him a retention bonus as well.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Jim, from the Department of Now, they tell me, new study shows that guys don't want girls who drink a lot. Oh, thanks a lot. From the drunk sack. College girls may think the more they drink, the more guys will find them attractive, according to a study published in the Psychology of Party Poopers. Addictive behaviors.
Whatever.
Okay. 71% of women aged 18 to 25 overestimate how much men would like them to drink on a given occasion. Oh, there's a line in there, isn't there, Jim? Sloppy enough to want to do it, but not...
not that sloppy.
Yeah.
No.
And then when you get to projectile vomiting, Over the past several decades, the rate at which young women drink has increased dramatically. The study claims many college women believe that men find it attractive and sexually appealing when a woman can drink as much as a man does. However, the study finds that men generally prefer lighter drinking patterns than their female friends or sexual partners. Women's estimates are nearly double men's actual preferences. Damn it. A lifetime of research wasted for me.
Oh, I can handle it. I'm fine. I just...
you know the ladylike thing to do.
Just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Okay, and there's two from the drunk stack. Drunk stack meets future husband stack.
Mm-hmm.
DUI defendant claims that he's his own country.
See, really?
Now, you know what? That kind of quick thinking when you're drunk. A man accused of driving drunk said Pennsylvania courts have no jurisdiction over him because he's his own country. 44-year-old Scott Allen Whitmer filed with the court claiming sovereignty.
It means you're sovereign. See, it means you got sovereignty.
Yeah. It's like tribal sovereignty. Mm-hmm.
You've got sovereignatiousness.
He said he believes the police lack the jurisdiction to pull him over. As he said in court, I live inside myself, not in Pennsylvania. Oh, you are a clever man, and hopefully we'll be going to the chapel. Okay. What? That's my future husband.
Oh, okay.
He's his own country. He lives inside himself. Okay.
I don't think that's going to stand up in court somehow.
You don't think so? All right. Let's check some entertainment news, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
You can't make me do Tinsel Talk because I'm my own country. And
yeah,
I can't do Tinsel Talk.
Nice try. Listen, this is a full-on revolution. The both of you are rebelling, and he's gone. And
I'm my own country.
Mm-hmm. Madonna has hinted she's planning to extend her family by stealing another child from its parents in Malawi. What? Oh, did I say that?
Exactly.
I meant to say adopt another child. Adopt another child from Malawi. As you recall, she adopted David Banda, who was 13 months old at the time, from Malawi in 2006, which caused media allegations that they violated that country's adoption laws by stealing the child from his father, as I recall. But Madonna believes Banda should have a sibling from his homeland. I believe she watched that infomercial, didn't she?
Hey, all you international celebrities who've already scored a malnourished African child but are still feeling unfulfilled. Child Max here, and we know the answer to your ennui. Come on over to the Dark Continent and adopt another one. Our extensive research has indicated that post-adoption annoyance is due in most cases to a feeling of asymmetry. That's right. Get a little black bookend to complete the set. Who needs a single black family member standing out like a raisin in a bowl of rice? Give a little tax write-off some company and add a little more melon into the landscape. You won't regret it. We have the completion orphan you need in stock, or we can get one within 24 hours. We've got them all. Nigerians, Malawians, Ivory Coasters, Beninians, and the ever-popular Kenyans. Check out our lot. Here we have a 2003 model Ghanaian, already with her second set of teeth with just a few scattered smallpox scars. This fine 2001 model Ethiopian is lively and loving, and the Kwashiorkor, or Kwashiorkor, depending on who you listen to, has almost completely cleared up. A couple of thousand calories and he's good as new. And check out this 2005 Ugandan. He'll be walking as soon as you tank him up with milk to get the rickets under control. Don't delay. Don't deny yourself. You want him? We got him. Come on down to Child Max and take home your ebony accessory today. Guaranteed not to cause intertribal massacre around the dinner table. Financing available. Easy payments. Low interest. Call, click, or come on in.
Are they a member of the FDIC?
No.
Okay. Wow, that was horribly inappropriate. Yes. And finally,
we're making fun of celebrities. Who,
yes, of course we
who
were.
Who feel the need to accessorize with human beings.
Yes. Malibu residents upset at Bob Dylan's outhouse. How sweet is life when you live next to a celebrity in Malibu outside Bob Dylan's house? The answer, my friend,
is blowing in the wind.
They wrote that at the LA Times.
And it only goes downhill from there.
That's what some of these singer-songwriters' neighbors are claiming in an increasingly onerous dispute over a porta-potty on his Ocean View estate. Residents contend the nighttime sea breeze sends a noxious odor from a portable toilet on Dylan's property wafting into their homes. The stench has made members of one family physically ill and forced them to abandon their bedrooms on warm nights, they claim. For more than 6 months, Dylan has ignored their complaints and they're pleased to remove the outhouse. The downwind neighbors say, we have a Bob, I believe.
Hey, there's been some controversy about the porta-potty I have on my property. I'm way too cheap to build a proper guardhouse with actual plumbing. So when the wind is right, the stench is blowing in the wind. To my hypersensitive neighbors, I say, you're an idiot, babe. It's a wonder that you still know how to breathe. Apparently, the smell's even worse than my boots of Spanish leather, which are cured with urine, believe it or not. I may or may not have promised to remedy the situation. What the hell? Broken treaties, broken vows, broken hands on broken plows, hand dog, hound dogs howling, bullfrog croaking, everything's broken. Anyway, I don't really care if you build a ladder to the stars and climb on every rung. May you smell forever dung, forever dung,
no, you didn't.
Forever dung.
Oh, okay. Forever dung because, you see. That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward, Fall the Rawl.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True. There's a banner ad on the Stephanie Miller website. Oddly enough, it's called StephanieMiller.com.
What?
It's a banner ad. You can see it right there. Buy the album.
Barbara in Illinois on AIG. Welcome, Barbara.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Hi, Jim. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
I just have a solution for the people who took the bonuses from AIG, and it's actually kind of simple. It has to do with the media. I think we should have their identities revealed in the paper with pictures, and so everybody knows who these people are that need money so badly that they're willing to screw the rest of their country.
Yep.
Well,
I sent a John Walsh series.
Andrew Cuomo is doing more than that. He's going to subpoena AIG over the bonuses if they don't reveal exactly who these people are, what they're doing, and he wants to see the contracts that supposedly require them to pay these. So
good. Yeah. Carlito in Miami, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hey, Carlito.
Hey, it is the official Democratic Cuban rapper, the Stephanie Miller Show, Carlito Brillante.
Thank you. All right, go ahead.
And for the record, all my fans are smart and successful. Among them is CNN's Jack Cafferty.
Good.
Hey.
And, I was trying to get some financing from the Heritage Foundation for remaking the Wizard of Oz with an all-GOP cast.
Okay.
Okay, it'll be the lying sack of cute Dana Perino as Dorothy.
Uh-huh.
that vicious little bastard Barney is Toto.
Yes.
Sarah Palin is Glenda the Good Witch.
Yes.
Ann Coulter is the Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh.
Michael Steele is a Scarecrow.
Mm-hmm.
John Boner is the Bronze Man.
Yes, he's the Tin Man, except in bronze.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Carlito. That's fabulous casting. All right. Tony, whip out your tiny violin. You know, Jim, the headline is Wall Street is feeling unloved.
Oh.
Freshman New York Representative Michael McMahon had a chance meeting with President Obama last week, and he used it to issue a word of warning. Watch what you say about Wall Street. Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Boy, I bet he's a scared now. There's a certain venom out there in the rhetoric that I hear in the halls of Congress and on television that is dangerous not only to these markets, but could have a very damaging effect on the people who I represent. It's a grave concern to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. Then fire them all. If they're going to get uppity. We're going to crash the market if you don't give us everything we want.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. We don't want regulation.
Fired.
Yeah, exactly.
You're fired.
Thank you. All right. Dear. I'm guessing this is going to be on What the Fox tonight? They're going to pick the one poll that... has the president's approval rating slipping slightly. Pew Research Center shows Obama's approval rating has slipped from 64 to 59%. Oh, no. Gallup reports...
62 is what I've heard.
That's not what Pew is saying. Gallup reports the measure of Obama's approval rating is unchanged today versus yesterday at 61%. CNN rates Obama's approval number as being high at 64%, although down 3 points from February. What the fuck? He's in free fall. The president's in free fall. Okay, I think there's one Fox talking point that might be working, Jim, at least if you're listening to the Pew poll. Obama is sliding leftward, according to Moore, because of the, I guess if you say socialist enough, people will, okay. Not sure how people would suggest we get out of this hole that the Bush administration dug for us.
The thing is that a lot of people would like him to move further leftward.
Exactly.
The majority of the country, in fact.
That new president sheen may be coming off President Obama, according to Pew. The new car,
president
the new
Martin
president
sheen?
Smell. Yeah. As more Americans see him leaning toward the liberal wing of the Democratic Party. See, this is the thing the president said when he came in. It's not like he wanted to, who wants to inherit this economy and come in and have to spend this kind of money on stimulus or whatever? It's amazing. It's apparently ever since he was in kindergarten plotting to be president, he was plotting to hatch this socialist plot, which to foist upon America. Yeah.
And Republicans should come up with a solution then if they don't like the way things are going.
Mm-hmm.
Their solution is more tax cuts for the rich and even less regulation. Yeah, great.
More voters, 44%, say Obama is leading toward the liberals in his party. And you know who the only people that doesn't think that is the liberals in his party.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it is the GOP whose approval ratings have suffered the most. Just 28% of Americans say they approve a Republican congressional leader's job performance. So, at least we're paying attention.
So, according to Rush Limbaugh, shut up! Shut up!
Until you win an election,
shut
I believe were his exact words. Roz in Atlanta, Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on AIG. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's a real simple solution to the AIG bonuses. The government should refuse to give them the bonuses. Let them sue. Then when they get to court, they're going to have to disclose a whole lot of things. They may not want to go there.
What Andrew Cuomo's trying to do, try to figure out exactly what's going on, who these people are, why they think they deserve these bonuses, and let's see those damn contracts.
Speaking of lawsuits that may go on until the end of time, we will talk about former Senator Norm Coleman and much more as we continue, along with the small business plan and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you. Jim's in the bar, I guess, drinking already still. All right. Just you and me, Tony. Fine. Okay. Obama's roots apparently have Irish eyes, smiling. He touted his father's Kenyan No, that would still be Irish music. Thank you, Tony. He's touted his father's Kenyan roots and his mother's Kansas upbringing, but Irish Americans say they're still waiting for Barack Obama to embrace another influential figure from his past, his great-great-great-grandfather, Falmouth Kearney. An Irish immigrant who came to America in 1850. There's an Irish fun fact. He's as much Irish as he is Kenyan, said Irish-American Democrats President Stella O'Leary. He's very wrapped up in his African-American heritage, but we will welcome him with open arms and a pint of booze of some sort. Green beer, I'm guessing. All right, Tony, I don't know where... Oh, Jim's not here. Oh, here he is. Hi, Jim. Don't worry. It's just me here by myself. Don't worry. We were doing the Obama has Irish roots story.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know what I'm going to have to do now?
This is hair turning green, though.
No. Now you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to whip out my one Irish impression since you weren't here. This was my friend Maureen Porter's mother in college who had a very thick Irish brogue. And so I used to hear almost on a weekly basis, Maureen Porter, you better get home by noon or I'll kick your butt all the way back from here to Niagara U. She went to Niagara University. That was near where I lived there in Buffalo. All right, that's it.
She might have said Irish instead of what?
Okay. Oh, dear God in heaven. Franken and Coleman delivered their closing arguments Friday.
I believe Franken's closing argument was Nanner. Nanner. And again, I say Nanner.
I think that's what it was. The ruling apparently could come down in multiple parts. From there, further court action could keep the case going for weeks or months. Harry Reid said the Minnesota court's ruling deserves respect and 5 million citizens of Minnesota deserve full representation in the U.S. Senate as soon as possible. Norm Coleman wanted his day in court, and we respect that. He's gotten 7 weeks. Oh, we all await the outcome from the three-judge panel. Guess what the Republicans are eyeing? Bush versus Gore to save the Coleman seat.
Ah,
what?
That's hilarious.
What the... Top Republicans are encouraging Coleman to be as litigious as possible. That's good for the people of Minnesota, isn't it? And take his fight all the way to the Supreme Court if he loses this round, believing that an elongated court fight is worth it if they can continue to deny Democrats the 59th Senate seat. In pushing a possible Supreme Court conclusion, Republicans are raising case history of Bush versus Gore. Coleman's team says the different methods Minnesota counties use for counting absentee ballots violated the Constitution's equal protection clause.
Yeah, except that they were trying to get them to stop the recount in 2000. Not
yes.
Continue it.
Yes, they've already
endlessly.
Finished the recount now.
Yeah.
You see, everybody's. Harry Reid said about Coleman, he has lost the election. What he should do is save the people of Minnesota a lot of money and allow them to have a representative here. I mean, everybody knows that he's lost the election. Talk to anyone who's watched the proceedings the last week or two. Asked whether Franken should appeal if he loses, Reid smiled and said, he won't lose.
Of course, Al Gore actually won in 2000. It was proven later. Several newspapers did studies, and by any version of the recount.
Oh, Jim, it's not like George Bush did any damage.
No!
Harry Reid, I believe, actually said the following then.
We're going to need to go ahead and move you downstairs into storage B.
No,
some new people coming in, and we need all the space we can get.
Wow, on Monday, rumors circulated if Coleman loses, he'll be in line to replace Michael Steele. That's German.
Great.
What a parade of losers they
got. You do that, baby. Then I believe Norm Coleman will be the man.
By the way, you know what I think Michael Steele will be then doing? He will be, because he is just that kind of bat crazy, is he'll be doing a radio show because he filled in for the scintillating Bill Bennett, I understand. 2 weeks ago, he decided to guest host William Bennett's scintillating national radio program.
Ugh, wow, even talking about it makes me tired.
In a two-hour tour de force, he sat in for the conservative talker. He lambasted Republicans for inserting earmarks in the omnibus bill, compared President Barack Obama to Richard Nixon. Described the current political climate as Armageddon between conservatism and liberalism. Rahm Emanuel is a master manipulator, said the globe was cooling rather than warming.
Okay. All right.
And touted the importance of education only to misstate a prominent historical figure's name. Good job. Good job. Perfect for talk radio. 28 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Passing out.
Cursing on St. Patrick's Day. There's nothing sacred.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Brian in Miami on the Norm Coleman race. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Mama. I wanted to just point out something really quickly. I mean, I'm not a law guy. I don't have a degree or anything. I'm just a normal guy who hangs around, listens to the radio. But Bush v. Gore specifically says that it can't be used as a precedent for any sort
That's
of
right.
situation ever. So this is really just, it's stalling. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. They just don't want to see Al Franken. They're afraid to see, that Fox News Alert headline at the bottom of the page that says, Senator Franken meets with President Obama and just hear Bill O'Reilly's head explode in the background.
Exactly. And I've been waiting for that for months, and it's about time my dream came true. All right, thank you. Oh, that's going to be such good fun. All right.
By the way, if you want to read about that, Andrew Cuomo, check out abcnews.go.com slash blotter.
Okay. All right, in these bad economic times, Jim, guess what is a good thing to check into? And that is selling blow.
Ah.
Yes, a Mexican drug king has made the Forbes billionaire list.
Good for him.
See? Mexico's most wanted man, drug trafficker.
I would kill for that. Oh, he probably did. A lot.
He's known as El Chapo.
El Chapo.
He's one of 38 people who managed to become new billionaires.
Mira,
as much of the rest of the world lost wealth in 2009.
Tengo mucho dinero.
Yeah, according to Forbes magazine. Guzman, who built El Chapo to you, the one who all men fear. He built a drug empire for 8 years from a Mexican prison. You got to hand it to him. He wasn't even on the outside. Before escaping in a laundry cart in 2001, has made his cartel.
The old laundry cart trick. I should have known.
Into one of the biggest suppliers of cocaine to the United States. In the process, he has managed to build franchises in dozens of U.S. cities and trigger a drug war now considered more brutal than the war.
He's a capitalist.
Yeah, exactly. At least he's not a socialist.
That's the kind of guy we need. Not,
at least he's not a
socialist.
He's not a bad guy, at least.
Yeah, we need a drug dealer. Wow.
Parents across
this
country.
What it's come to.
Honey, have you considered selling blow? Oh, you're looking, paging through that job opportunity website. All right. So the president announced his plan for small businesses yesterday.
As part of my financial stability plan, the Treasury Department will begin purchasing up to $15 billion of SBA loans through the Troubled Asset Relief Program, or TARP. We will immediately unfreeze the secondary market for SBA loans and increase the liquidity of community banks.
Uh-oh. Well, Eric Cantor's going to be like, hey, here's my small business plan for the... Oh, the president already... Oh, damn.
Well, the president isn't doing anything to help small... What?
Huh?
He is? Oh, darn it.
I'm against that, Ben, whatever he's for. His plan's the wrong one.
They create roughly 70% of all new jobs in the past decade. But today, too many entrepreneurs can't access the capital to start, operate, or grow their business. Too many dreams are being deferred or denied by a form letter canceling a line of credit.
I'll say. The president talking about part of his budget is...
I've also proposed, as part of my budget, that we reduce to zero the capital gains tax for investments in small or startup businesses, expanding and making permanent one of the tax cuts in the recovery plan.
Above my pay grade, Jim, a lot of this financial stuff.
Yeah, me too.
But this seems like a pretty good plan to me from the rough outlines of it.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chair.
We do have a plan. We're working on it. And I do think that we will get it stabilized, and we'll see the recession coming to an end probably this year. We'll see recovery beginning next year, and it'll pick up steam over time.
Not if the Republicans can help it. They got to nip that in the bud. Stop that recovery before it hurts us in the next election.
Politically, yeah. Somebody accidentally helped the American people, and then we are screwed. Sean Hannity, that's kind of weird. I just assumed he'd be behind anything the president has planned to help the American people and small businesses. But
how confident should we be that this administration will be able to do anything? This administration that can't even fill the vacancies at the Treasury Department.
Mm.
This administration, in whose own Treasury Secretary, is responsible for the AIG bailout to begin with. That's right. Democrats, they don't want to admit it. But the chief architect of the AIG deal was TurboTax. Tim Geithner himself.
The bailout started during the Bush administration.
Yes. I think, as you pointed out yesterday, Jim, there's nothing he said there that's actually true. And I think he counts on us just being stupid. I'm like,
and
what,
what's your
no,
plan? The AIG... What's your plan, Sean? Okay.
Tax cuts for me. That'll fix it.
Okay. Hannity.
Congressional Democrats continue to place blame anywhere they can for the economic crisis, but isn't it time that we investigate them for their role in this meltdown?
Which started in the Bush administration, you twit.
What are we at? Has Obama been president?
It's time for you to get your head out of your ass.
Is
That's
it
what time
7 weeks? 8 weeks? How long has Obama been president exactly? That is, wow. Okay.
About 20 minutes now, I think, yeah.
Okay. You know, I can't get enough of that Dick Cheney. Can you? This is a, see if you can figure out the twist in logic here. He says, yes, Obama inherited difficult economic circumstance.
But it's his fault, too.
Yeah, but you certainly can't blame the previous administration.
No, of course not.
Why would you blame the people that handed him the...
He meant inherit it from the Clinton administration. It's like the Bush administration didn't happen as far as this goes. Yeah.
There's no question about what the economic circumstances that he inherited are difficult ones. You know, we said that before we left. I don't think you can blame the Bush administration for the creation of those circumstances.
Not.
It's a global financial problem.
It is now.
We had, in fact, tried to deal with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac problem
some years before
with major reforms, and were blocked by Democrats on the Hill, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd. So I think the notion that you can just sort of throw it off on the prior administration, that's interesting rhetoric, but I don't think anybody really cares a lot about that.
Yeah, I think they do, Dick.
Yeah, a lot. And did King do any follow-up at all? Any kind of questions?
No, not really, because as I recall, a lot of Republicans voted against that as well at the behest of the White House. Which,
yeah.
There's a lot of details in that whole Freddie Fannie thing that he doesn't seem to be forthcoming with, which is so strange.
It's unusual for him. See, John Stewart would have done a better interview with Cheney.
Yeah, exactly.
But
exactly.
I think in order to get Cheney, they had to agree not to ask him any questions or challenge him on anything. So we got Cheney, though. We're not going to do anything.
Obama, Robert Gibbs, the White House press secretary, was asked about Dick Cheney saying Obama was making the U.S. less safe. He said, well, I guess Rush Limbaugh was busy today.
Yeah, that's great.
So they trotted out the next most popular member of the Republican cabal.
Mm-hmm. That's funny!
Yeah, it seems to me Dick Cheney warned us that the terrorist attacks were coming once before when he said, gee, I wish we had some sort of catalyzing, catastrophic Pearl Harbor-like event to make our... Oh, there it is! How about that?
By the way, just to fill it in your own thought bubble here, Lynn Cheney fainted yesterday. Don't make any jokes about seeing Dick Cheney get out of the shower or anything like that. We wish her well. A Philadelphia hospital spokesperson says she's being evaluated. They won't say where she was when she fainted and didn't indicate her, condition, except that she is married to Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney.
I worry a lot that they're using the current set of economic difficulties to try to justify a massive expansion in the government and much more authority for the government over the private sector, and I don't think that's good.
Yes. And again, what's your solution? More tax cuts for rich people like you?
And apparently
even less regulation?
Yes. And apparently that's much more evil than using some sort of event to justify, let's say, an unnecessary war.
Yeah.
So I'm just picking out something out of the air about, you know, using certain things for certain purposes. Okay, here is Dick Cheney making the original comment about Obama making America less safe.
You believe the President of the United States has made Americans less safe?
I do. I think those... programs were absolutely essential to the success we enjoyed of being able to collect the intelligence that led us defeat all further attempts to launch attacks against the United States since 9/11.
There were no credible attempts after 9/11.
And let's review once again, Dick. The worst national security failure in our history happened on your watch. Your watch.
And torture elicits a lot of BS, as Keith was saying yesterday. You don't get good intelligence from torture. And you didn't get any good intelligence from torture.
Yes, he did. It's classified. He can't tell you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
He saw stuff.
I can't tell you about the things that didn't happen.
Yeah.
But there were lots of them. Trust me. Oh, yeah.
And what reason wouldn't we have to trust Dick Cheney at this point? 42 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
We'll be right back.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 47 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Charlie in Fort Lauderdale on Dick Cheney. Hey, Charlie.
Hey, where do I begin? Richard Bruce Cheney of Omaha, Nebraska. This guy's about as welcome as a zit on a teenager's face. The repeat DUI offender, Nixon White House, and future war criminal. Will Farrell had a great line. This guy's got so much charisma, he could shoot his friend in the face and get the friend to apologize. But he comes on, this is unprecedented for somebody from a previous administration to criticize a new administration in the first 90 days. It's traitorous. He's a demagogue, a fear merchant, and to me, the core of it is the utter contempt he has for this country.
Well, and somebody was pointing out, Charlie, how self-aggrandizing it is. That's
absolutely
all they're interested in. You know, it's not what's best for America. It's just rewriting history about
right.
their administration.
And he said about the economy, stuff happens. This joins the quote he said about Iraq, so what? This is what the guy really feels. I mean,
yep.
he's a dangerous person. And for him to get a softball interview, nobody to challenge him. And think about it. Nobody from a previous administration would ever come on and criticize a new president like this.
Yep, absolutely. Jeff in Orange County on Dick as well. Hello, Jeff.
Good morning. I'd like to just comment on that. It seems that CNN's as at fault with as anybody here. Every time they get the big fish Cheney, they take the veteran reporters and anchors off and give them the freshman class, mm-hmm. the up-and-comings who won't question anything he says.
Mm-hmm.
First time it was Campbell Brown when he said, no, I've never said that about it's been pretty well confirmed.
Yep.
That he was meeting in Prague. No, I never said that. Oh, okay, Mr. Cheney. If it was Wolf Blitzer who got his butt handed to him by Cheney as well, it may not have been
yep.
much different. But it
I said this yesterday, Jeff, and I actually like John King, and, you know, God bless him, he tried a couple of times. But that's what I mean. It's just how did they let them continue to get away with these bald-faced lies that they have on tape?
I like John, too, but I don't think that was really a college effort there.
Yeah,
I think
well.
That was doing the bare minimum to get by to say, I tried to ask him something.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're as guilty as Cheney is here.
Yeah, well, I think John King's hands were tied. He was probably the network was probably told
yeah.
by Cheney's people, don't ask this, or the interview's off.
Yeah.
And they had to get Cheney.
I'm guessing the assassination ring was on the do not ask list.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, this
the Cheney assassination ring.
Yeah, this Bush legacy tour is continuing. You'll be happy to know this. The president back in the saddle for a speaking tour, Jim. He has plans for about 10 speeches over the next year. He and Condoleezza Rice, his lover.
What? Huh?
Secretary of State.
I'm sure you misspoke when you
yes,
said that.
Yes, he will be speaking at the Economic Club of Southeastern Michigan. Oh, maybe to tell us how we achieved this glorious economy that they've left us with. That would be delightful. I've asked before, but who in their right mind would pay to hear George Bush speak? Maybe he will. I think we mentioned it earlier, Jim. Maybe he'll describe the tribal sovereignty to us again.
Tribal sovereignty means that. It's sovereign.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's, you've been given sovereignty,
right.
and you're viewed as a sovereign entity.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you're sovereign. And you got sovereignty in your entity.
I'd buy that for a dollar. Mm-hmm.
Which,
okay.
Which has sovereignness in its sovereignitude.
Tim in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Hannity. Hello, Tim.
Sean needs to go away.
Who's that? Oh, Sean does?
Yes. Now,
oh, did you listen? You know what? I had the misfortune of listening to his radio show by accident yesterday, and have you heard his liners? It's conservatism, the conservative underground. It's the Sean Hannity show.
What? All I know is I stopped watching him because I was getting eye tumors, and now I have to listen to him occasionally. Now I'm getting ear tumors.
Yeah.
This is not working. Maybe,
see how that's like?
And,
it's like the Underground Railroad. It's where the
exactly.
poor, beleaguered, rich white men in America go to gather, apparently, because it's so terribly hard out there for them. Jim, the other... millionaire white men. They have to have a conservative underground.
Meet in a secret lair.
Eric in San Jose, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the economy. Hello, Eric.
Hello. I laugh a lot when you play the Bernanke comments because how is the recession, which really is a depression, which no one wants to say it is, how is the recession going to end by the end of the year when we have no manufacturing base in this country and corporations still send jobs overseas for cheap labor? Until that changes, there's never going to be an end to this recession.
Yep. No, I hear you on that. It's such a multi-layered problem. I don't even know which thing you start with. You know, Buddy in Columbus on the president. Hello, Buddy.
It's great to have an Irish president, Obama.
Yeah, he has an Irish descendant.
Hey, before get out, can I get at least a little Danny boy or some guns and the bombs from Jim?
Somewhat?
Somewhat.
The guns and the bombs. The Irish accent.
Ah, their guns and their bombs and their...
What is that?
Tommy.
Okay.
From the
right.
Cranberry song.
All right, honey. All right, that's only on sympathetic. They don't play Dance Boys Monkey Dance again. All right, Sue in Rockwell, Maryland on the Dick Cheney interview. Hi, Sue.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Hi, Tony. Listen, Jim, you were close. But the thing is, so let CNN agree to whatever rules they want. But if you have a real reporter who's got some cojones, he asks the questions. What are they going to do, cut off access? He's not the damn VP. He's supposed to go to jail. He's a war criminal.
Yeah, Sue, I once asked, what's her name, Lauren Hutton. No, not Lauren Hutton. Who's the other one? You know who I'm talking about. She's terrifying. Lauren Bacall. Yes. I once asked her a question. I was told not to ask her on oxygen, and she nearly killed me.
But women are so much gutsier than men.
And she didn't start an unnecessary war, for God's sakes.
Absolutely.
All right. Bogey is the thing you're not supposed to ask her about.
I was wrong. I don't think they would have gotten Cheney unless they agreed to certain...
Yeah, but who cares? Anymore? So what? You know, it's like, oh, you can't have access to Dick Cheney anymore. Oh, well.
You can go tell the same lies on Fox, you know, but with even less.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? The Red Cross says we tortured people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Whatever.
This is news.
Yeah, that was breaking news, apparently. Oh, here is the sad state of the Republican Party. Caribou Barbie will deliver the keynote address at a dinner sponsored by the House and Senate Republican Campaign Committee. She will address the annual Senate House dinner.
You betcha.
June 8th. That'll be a party.
Gals. Gals.
Okay. Senator John Cornyn called her a breath of fresh air. I don't know, whatever. The whole, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Could you take your organ out for me, Tony? Thank you so much. I know we don't know each other as well as Chris and I do, but I appreciate it. Without a pastor of his own, Obama is turning to five, Jim, count them, five pastors, including the Reverend Jim Wallace, whom we know and whom we love, the author of God's Politics. He has been without a pastor ever since the whole Jeremiah Wright scandal. He has quietly cultivated a handful of evangelical pastors for private prayer sessions on the telephone and for discussions on the role of religion in politics. Jim Wallace, he leans left on some issues like military intervention and poverty program, but opposes abortion. Sean Hannity and others like to cast him as some sort of crazy left-wing lunatic. As a group, including Wallace, they can hardly be characterized as part of the religious left. Most, like Mr. Wallace, do not take traditionally liberal positions on abortion or homosexuality, but most say they share with the president the conviction that faith is the foundation in the fight against economic equality and social injustice. These are all centrist social justice guys. Obama genuinely comes out of the social justice wing of the church. That's real. The community organizing stuff is real. Sarah
Palin.
Social
justice, as in socialism? I rest my case.
Mr. Wallace said he got to know Mr. Obama in the late 1990s when they participated in a traveling seminar that took bus trips to community programs around the country. Those were one of the buses that Ray Nagin should have been using.
The buses? Mm-hmm. Why didn't he use the buses? Oh, Jim Wallace had them. Okay, never mind.
Mr. Wallace said they hit it off because they were both Christian, serious about their faith, fathers of young children the same age, and believers in transcending the left and right to find solutions to social problems. He and I were what we called back then progressive Christians as opposed to dominant religious right era we were then in, said Mr. Wallace. We didn't think Jesus' top priority would be capital gains, tax cuts, and supporting the next war. Thank you. Love up some Jim Wallace. Been on the show many, many times, he has. All right. Cue up my Happy Joy song. Before we go, would you like to know who are the happiest states, Jim?
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell can be happy these days. Happy joy. Thank you. A survey of Americans' well-being conducted by Gallup gives high marks to Utah. All right, Utah. And speaking of outdoor, they have a lot of outdoor recreation, apparently.
Yeah.
Like polygamy. Oh, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry.
That's indoor.
You can do it anywhere you need to. Are you okay, Tony? Did you fall on the soundboard? That's all right. The islands of Hawaii took second place, and Wyoming was third in the poll that rated such variables as mental, physical, and economic health. West Virginia, oh dear, last among the states.
Oh boy.
Kentucky, 49th. Mississippi, 48th. In general, the highest well-being scores came from states in the West, while the lowest were concentrated in the South. Which voted for John McCain? Coincidence or conspiracy? I don't know. All right, That's it for us today. I'd like to thank Engineer Boy Toy Chris LaVoy, who was off doing his civic duty or
whatever.
And Tony, who filled in for him. Poised Deity Jim Ward, Associate Producer Rebecca Baker on phones and drums. See you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.